Good morning, everybody. My name is Kirsch Anderson. I am 24 years old, and I'm from the town of Mattoon, Illinois. For the past 11 years of my life, I was stuck in an addictive, destructive lifestyle that I could not get out of on my own. I struggle with methamphetamine addiction, Xanax addiction, marijuana. I have stolen, lied, manipulated. I've been living in sin since the age of 13 years old, and by the time I was 23, I'd lost everything to my destructive lifestyle. Now, keep in mind, I've been in and out of 8 secular rehab treatments. I've been in and out of mental hospitals, in and out of jails. But I had a void in my heart that this world, the things of the world, can never fill. The only thing that could fill this void is the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I knew who Jesus was because my mother and my family brought Jesus into my life at a very young age. But I decided to follow a destructive lifestyle instead. So having lost everything at the age of 23, I had no possessions to my name, I had nowhere to go, and I wanted to end my life. I was back on the streets, but God, through his grace, through his mercy, through his love, reached his hand out through the Adult and Teen Challenge program to give me yet another chance for me to get back on my feet. I knew this was my only option. So on October 10th of 2025, I checked myself into Adult and Teen Challenge, and since then, my life has been changed. I now have a true relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Every day I wake up and I say, Holy Spirit, I surrender my footsteps to you. I surrender my words to you. Let everything that I do today be from you and not myself. I now have 8.5 months of sobriety from drugs. I have restored relationships with my family. I have been set free from my sin. God has taken somebody like me, who actually has a fear of public speaking, to putting me on this stage to share about his transformative goodness. This is the God we have. This is what he does. This is what he is doing in my life. I couldn't even leave my house. I felt like I couldn't even leave my house because of drugs, the paranoia. But God is delivering me from my fears as we speak. This is the God that we have. I'm no longer addicted to drugs. I'm no longer wake up and talk to the drug dealer the first thing in the morning. The first person I talk to is the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I have been set free. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Teen Challenge has gave me the opportunity to get me back on my feet, and I am just so grateful and so blessed to be here today. Do not lose hope. If you know somebody struggling with addiction, get them into a program like Adult and Teen Challenge. Introduce them to Jesus. Pray for them. It will save their life. If it can be done for me, it can be done for you. Do not give up. Do not lose hope. I'll give you my life verse. Romans 1:16, for I am unashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God that brings salvation to those who believe. Thank you.
Good morning, church. My name is Alex Perryman from Chicago, Illinois. I'm 40 years old, and I've been struggling with cocaine and alcohol addiction for the last 10 years. I ended up losing everything, including myself. So my dad goes, hey, call Teen Challenge. And we make the call. They gave us the whole spiel. It's a 5:30 wake up, 6 o'clock breakfast. Chores afterwards, work details for most of the day. Are you willing? And I go, yeah. Immediately, I go, yes. And even though they had lost me at chores. So they say, hey, we're full right now. We'll give you a call back. So I immediately go back out in my mess. And a few days later, I get into a big argument. Girlfriend calls my dad, my mom. And they ended up picking me up so I can cool off. And my dad goes, I got a few errands to run. And I say, okay, cool. I can cool down, get some rest. So I drift off to sleep. And literally 2 hours later, I wake up in the parking lot of Adult and Teen Challenge. And at that point, I knew it was time to get my life together, make a change. That was 10 months ago, so I've been sober for 10 months. I came in the program 145 pounds, and I now weigh 215 pounds, so I haven't been missing out on any meals. And most importantly, I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. He's renewed my life, changed my life. He's restored my life, and it's been a refreshing experience. So with that, I'll leave you with my life verse, Psalms 31:1. It goes, "In you, O Lord, I trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in your righteousness."
Good morning. First of all, it's a privilege and an honor to be able to share a bit of my testimony with everyone. My name is John Talty. I'm 60 years old, and I'm from the south side of Chicago. I grew up in a church-going family, Catholic, Mass every Sunday. So I always believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. However, I struggled with alcohol and drug addiction most of my life. Had brief sobriety, still followed always by a worse relapse, backslide into more misery. Anyone that came in contact with me, family, loved ones, I destroyed them as well. It was just selfish and self-centered. About 16 months ago, I had a life-changing experience for me. I was found unresponsive on my kitchen floor, dead. They had to jumpstart me, had to paddle me back to life. I was in a full diabetic coma. 2 weeks into the coma, they pulled the ventilator. They were disconnecting me. I died again, and I came back. With that said, the doctor said there's no hope. I've been dead too long. My brain has been without oxygen for 8 minutes. Nothing. I'll be basically a vegetable. Family should think about DNR and what they want to do with me. Obviously, I came back. You know, I'm here. You know. I couldn't walk or talk when I came out of it. I just had no ability to walk, couldn't talk, couldn't comprehend, didn't know anybody in my family. So it looked pretty bleak. But I did come out of it. You know, I'm still struggling to walk a bit, but I'm better through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I knew at that point that he spared me, but I was angry. I should have been grateful, but I was angry that he didn't take me. Like, why didn't he want me? So with all the health ailments I had with the diabetes, I have I'm type 2 diabetic, neuropathy, high blood pressure, and I have congestive heart failure. My heart is at 38% operating. So they told me if I ever picked up a drink or drug again, I would die. So I wanted to die, and that's what I did. I had a moment of clarity, that God moment, and I thought, this is not what I want. This is not what I should be. That would be the most selfish act I could have done to my family. So I heard of Adult Teen Challenge through a commencement speech by George Bush, and I remember hearing about it, and I know a gentleman that went through the program who was very successful. I always chase the worldly things in life. I get sober, I get everything material-wise back, but I still had that void, and that void was the Lord Jesus Christ. Without him, I have nothing. I have to say this, that last week I felt the presence of the Holy Spirit fill me, and I always thought there was a bunch of, I didn't believe in it. Yeah, but something happened. Something happened to me just last Sunday where I'm not the same, and I have more of hope, and I'm just grateful through the Lord. If it wasn't for Adult and Teen Challenge and opening the doors for me, I don't know where I would be. I've been there 6 months. I'm grateful. I might not have showed it in the beginning, but every day I am grateful to be there, and I'm grateful for all of you that support our ministry. Thank you very much. I leave you with my life verse, Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters, for either you will hate one or love the other, or either be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money, and I put in addiction. Thank you for everything. Bye-bye.
Hey, my heroes, I want you to know that. Look what the Lord has done. Amen. It don't matter what we've done in life. We turn to Christ and look what he can do for us. Let that be your encouragement this morning. Amen? Amen. I don't know how to follow that, but I have to. So I'm going to ask you to pay attention and stretch your minds this morning. But Pastor John, thank you again for allowing Teen Challenge in. It's always a blessing, and it's been a tradition, and we thank you for carrying that on. And it means so much to me that I'm not even going to mention this year that my Eagles beat your Packers last year. Did I say that out loud? That's it. I'm done. I'll leave you alone, brother. Hey, appreciate you. I've been praying for your healing too, bro. I know it's got to be tough. So let's get started. This morning, we're going to go out of the book of Luke, chapter 13. And the NIV version has a subtitle that says, Repent or Perish. And so the chapter is focused on just that. There's three parables in there. We're only going to get into the first parable. The other two was the mustard seed and the yeast. But we're going to get into the parable of the unproductive fig tree. But in the beginning, how it starts out leading into it, in 13 verse 1, it reads that there were some present there at that time that asked Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate mixed in with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered, were these Galileans worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? And he said, no, but unless you repent, you too will perish. And then he goes on to say, were the 18 that died in the Tower of Siloam that fell, were they more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem at that time? He says, I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you too will perish. So then he gets into the parable of the unproductive fig tree. And it goes to this, Luke chapter 13, verse 6 through 9. It's up there. I will recite it for you from the NIV. So if I mess it up, don't hold it against me. Amen. It says, then he, meaning Jesus, told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, for 3 years now, I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and have not found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil? Sir, the man replied, leave it alone for one more year. I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it produces fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down. So on the heels of the first five verses, what Jesus is doing, he's warning Israel about her season of opportunity and about how God will not tolerate unproductivity. And the thing that makes that so relevant to us today is the fact it's relevant to us today. We, the body of believers, have been called to lead a productive life. Now, there's two types of productive that we must have. We must have the things of the world and the things of God. The things of the world are the things we got to take care of daily, our careers, our education, our families, you know, our finances, relationships. We have to manage those and be productive in those areas. But we're talking about this morning in the parable is the spiritual side, how we need to be productive for God. You know, it was a couple years ago, I was looking for a file on my computer, and I came across the file that I saved in 2007. And I read it, and for some reason, it really stuck with me. This really breaks this down for us. And you're going to think at some points I'm straying away, but I am driving to a point. So stretch your minds and be open this morning with me. Be patient with me, all right? I'm a former addict myself, as you know, a graduate, so cut me some slack, amen? But it talks about the three consciousness, the world conscious, the God conscious, and the self conscious. Now, the world conscious is our five senses. The things that we take in daily through our sight, smell, sound, touch, and feel. That's the world around us that we bring in, the things of the world. Now, we know the God conscious, it's the things of God, His Holy Spirit, His Son Jesus, salvation, grace, mercy, and all the goodness He gives us. And then there's a self-conscious, that's our soul. It's the medium between the two. Again, track with me, because I'm getting here on something. You see, when God created us, the greatest power He gave us on the world side is the freedom of choice, the free will element. It's the most powerful thing we have. And unless you can grasp that and respect that, we make bad choices. And you see, we feed our souls with the choices we make. Our souls are being fed by what we choose to do. So you feed them the things of the world or the things of God. Your soul only has so much space in there. So what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna give you a modern day parable, okay? It's a modern day parable, the parable of Randy. Randy chapter 1, verse 1, amen? A person walks into a restaurant, completely famished, starving, didn't eat all day, sits down, orders the appetizers, eating the bread, waiting for the meal, the salad. Two iced teas later, what do? You're back in your chair thinking, how am I going to make it to the car? Anybody ever been there so stuffed? Well, here comes the server. The server says, you ready for dessert? Absolutely not. No room. Well, the server's doing his job. We'd like to take something with you. You know what? That's not a bad idea. When I wake up from my nap when I get home, I'm going to want something sweet, right? So you usually do and take it home. You see, that's how it gets with us sometimes. We're so stuffed full of the world that that we got to take Jesus with us and get to him when we have time. So I'm told you this. I say that to say this. We're getting into the parable, okay? I told you I'm going to drive you right back down that road. Leading a productive life is a choice. We choose to be productive for God. So what are the elements to be productive for God? Well, in honor of your founding pastor, I'm going to give you an acronym. Unlike your founding pastor, it's not going to be 6 or 8 letters, only 3, okay? You know, one thing I noticed over all the years, he never did an acronym on Packers. You know why? There's not enough positive words to fit into those letters. That wasn't for you. That was for your dad, okay? I told you I'm going to take it easy on until that heals, so. So let's take the letter fig, all right? We're talking about fig here. This is what we're talking about in the parable. You have to be productive. Are you producing figs in your life? So the F is for forgiveness, all right? It starts with this. Again, I'm going to stretch your minds on this, so track with me about forgiveness. You see that when God sent his son here when the time was right to be brutalized, murdered, humiliated, hung on a cross, the majority of everybody down below him was cheering this. They were the ones that put him there, crucify him. They were the ones that were beating on him and spitting on him down that road to Golgotha. They were the ones saying, yes. And what did Jesus do in his weakest moment in the flesh before he gave up his spirit? He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And I would drive that home a little bit more. You remember the night of the Last Supper that led up to that? When he's talking to his disciples, and he mentioned he was about to be betrayed. And so he just teaching them humility when he kneeled down to wash their feet. Because they were about to be empowered to raise people from the dead, cure sickness, leprosy, disease, and drive demons out of people. These were average people that was going to be empowered with this, and he wanted to make sure they stay grounded and humbled. So he washed their feet to teach them humility. But when he came to the feet of Judas, that was not the lesson for Judas. He knew he's about to betray him. Even at that time, Judas didn't know it because the Spirit hadn't left him. But when Jesus kneeled down to wash his feet, it was his way of forgiving him for what he was about to do. And the reason why I say that, he was forgiving the people that put him on that cross. So it lines up with, even though the Bible doesn't talk about it. And we know what happened to Judas. But see, that's how deep forgiveness goes for the Lord, for us. How willing are we to forgive others? Somebody wrongs us, you know, we carry it with us sometimes. The Lord's Prayer says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors or transgressors, or forgive those who sin against us. What Jesus is teaching us in that prayer, we must forgive one another. And how hard is that to do? Now, I'll leave you one final thought and we'll move on. Without forgiveness, there is no love. And without love, there is no forgiveness. So it starts with forgiveness of heart. The second is I is intentional. We got to be intentional in our walk with the Lord. Serving God is not a hobby or a habit. It's a way of life. We can't go through life serving God on autopilot or cruise control. We got to be intentional in our walk. That means putting effort in it. That having that conscious effort in our mind. You know, some days you wake up and you're tired and you just kind of lazily go through life. But what opportunity during that time are you trying to seek the Lord? The Apostle Paul says, take captive every thought, make it obedient to Christ. That is an action thing that we must do in our minds. We must train ourselves to be active and intentional. That means in the world, not just in our devotion and prayer time, it's in service to others. Because God created us to be in service for others. This whole thing is about others. Forgiveness is about others. Intentional is about others and how you handle them. It's a lost and hurting world out there. So we must be intentional in our walk with the Lord. And the G is for gratitude. Man, how hard is it for us to praise God when things are going wrong? You know, when we're in that season of blessing, increase, man, we're praising him. Thank you, Father, for this. But when the world hits, and it hits all of us, and knocks you to the ground, are you praising him from the ground? You know, I shared last year about the journey I was on, the pursuit of my big dream that I was called to for self-care. The mind required tremendous physical pain. And I shared that last year. You know, it's been another year. And praise God. Man, I'm down 170 pounds, got both hips replaced. But what? Well, thank you. The cameras don't show it. I tell you, use a different lens, man. But during that time, when I had that sciatic issue, when I was at my worst pain where I couldn't get off the bed, I never questioned God. Why are you doing this to me? I said, God, can you make it stop? I tried to get it from a place because God had spoke to my spirit, and this is how he speaks to us today. I want you to really gravitate to this. I have you right where I want you. If you're in that season of sanctuary and blessing, man, praising, if you're going through the storms or the wilderness like the previous series, man, praise him from that, because what he's going to have on the other side of that, he's going to give you that relief. And the thing is, I want to leave you with this verse on gratitude. If you take anything from this part of the service, take this. That's Joel chapter 2, verse 25. Minor prophet a couple of weeks ago. This stands for every one of us. If you're going through something now and you don't see an end in sight, you gravitate to this. You embrace this. I'm a living witness to this. The Lord will repay you what the locusts have eaten. He's going to repay you for the years that he's been taken away from you, from the locusts. That's a guaranteed promise from God. So therefore, it will be so. So find comfort in that, because we all go through our trials. So embrace it. The Apostle Paul, of all people, is our greatest example. He said he learned to be content in all situations or circumstances. This was a man that was flogged 5 times. One time severely, it said. What was he doing at midnight? Him and Silas were praising God. Beaten with rods 3 times. Drug out of the city, stoned, left for dead. Goes in and starts preaching again. Bitten by a poisonous snake. Shipwrecked 3 times. He said he's been naked. He's been hungry. He suffered, and he counted it joy to suffer for the Lord. That is a man that had gratitude of heart in suffering. It's in our sufferings we have to exhibit our gratitude. So if you have forgiveness of heart, you're intentional in your walk with the Lord, and you have an attitude of gratitude, guess what? You are producing fruit, and you're producing it for God. So give God the hand for that one. Come on now. There was a song that came out in 1971. We're going to take a little trip down memory lane while I still have one, by a group called Rare Earth. You know, it was back when telephones were still on the wall. Anybody around during that time? Yeah. And when I moved from New York, I lived with my mom and my stepdad till I started 5th grade and I turned 10. Then I moved to California. That's where I spent the next 30 years of my life. My dad had what they called a party line. It was a shared phone line to make the bill cheaper. He was a single parent raising my oldest brother. You know, I come out, so now he's got another mouth to feed, a bigger mouth. You know what I'm saying? So if you picked the phone up, there were 4 of us that shared. If you picked the phone up, somebody's on it, you had to hang up and wait till they were done. It's amazing. You know what? I never really knew what happened if it rang. You know, whoever got to it first, I never knew how that happened, but that's what a party line was. You know, but that's back in the day. So 1971, that's back with AM radio in the car. Some of you know what that is. Most of you don't, but that means static. It's all we had, so, you know, that's what we dealt with. But Rare Earth came out with a song in 1971 called I Just Want to Celebrate. I loved that song when it came on. I love it today. It's just so infused with energy. And, you know, you sing along over the years. You know, I mean, anybody sounds good if you turn it loud enough, right? So anyway, it wasn't until a couple years ago that I actually listened to the lyrics, and I was floored. How did I miss that all these years? This is how we are supposed to live our lives. What are the 3 things that we struggle most with? Others, money, and self. Those are our 3 things we deal with every day that can throw us off. So this talks about this individual in that order and how they respond to each one. And it starts out like this. It says, I put my faith in the people, and the people let me down. Has that ever happened to you? How did they respond? So I turn the other way, and I carry on anyhow. I just want to celebrate another day of living. This individual is not going to let somebody else's attitude keep them from their day. That in of itself is our biggest struggle, because sometimes people, they like rubbing us the wrong way, right? The second one is money, right? We know that keeps us up at night at times. We work hard, and everybody got their hands out, including Uncle Sam. He gets his before ours hits the bank. You know what I mean? But how does this individual handle that? He says, I got my hands on a dollar bill, and the dollar bill blew away. But the sun is shining down on me, and I'm here to stay. I just want to celebrate another day of living. Not going to let money issues keep them. And when I hear that song now, I take sun as S-O-N and not S-U-N, because the sun is shining down on us and he's here to stay. Amen? And the third is self. We are our own worst enemies. We can put things in our head, and it goes like this. I won't be bothered with sorrow, and I won't be bothered with hate. I'm using up my time, and I'm feeling fine every day. I just want to celebrate another day of living. That is perfect how we should be living our lives. If you're being productive in the Lord, that's how we live our lives. In fact, man, you know, I'm probably going to listen to it on the way home. I can't get enough of it. So if you see a red GMC Acadia leaving the parking lot with thumping going on, the windows rattling, don't worry. It's just me celebrating another day of life. Amen. So, yes, praise God. All right, so we know how it is to be productive. Now we got to shift gears. I told you I'm going to stretch your mind a little bit. God is the owner of this vineyard. We are his fig trees. We are productive. Now God has given us a job. We are the gardeners now. So if you ask me, and I was the owner of that field, the gardener wouldn't have had a job. Why did he wait that long to see a problem and not do anything until he had to be confronted with it? Also, once that gardener was confronted with it, he knew what to do. Why did he not do it? You see, for us, we know what to do. Why do we wait sometimes for God to prompt us to go help somebody? We're around a lot of the same people every day, whether it's the job site, the schoolroom, neighborhood, whatever, your friends. And you got to notice when somebody is going through something. Are you quick to get with that individual? Hey, what's going on? How are you doing? Can I pray for you? Is there anything I can do? Why do we got to wait for God to say, hey, go help that person? See, this is where we fail God many times. I'm not trying to step on toes. I'm just trying to drive a point home. We have a responsibility to others. Otherwise, we're selfish in our faith. You know, when I'm out in the community, I see two types of people. That's how I define them. Those that encourage me and those that I encourage. Either they encourage me or I encourage them. And I run into a lot of you from Northwoods, and I thank you, because you guys have been so nice and so generous. I'm telling you, with your comments about Teen Challenge and encouragement. You see, that is what I'm talking about. That's when the Spirit of God is on your life and you're being productive. You know, usually when I'm out, I pass somebody, I usually say good morning or how you doing or hi and shoot them a light smile. Most of the time they smile back. You know why? They appreciate the gesture. You're not after something. Everybody wants something from you. They appreciate it. And that makes me feel good knowing you touched somebody's life that day. It may be a little bit, but it carries. And you got those that walk by that ignore you. You know, you can feel the sense of what's on them, the strength of the struggle that they're in. You know what you do when you get home? You pray for them. But this is what we're called to do. We're called to help others. So in leading a productive life, man, let's be figs. And I'll be honest with you. I can't stand figs. They're right up there with onions. But yet I aspire to be one, right? Is there something wrong with me? I want to be that which I despise? Well, that's how we got to be in the world. We got to despise the enemy and be that for God. So I thank you for listening to the message. We're going to get into Teen Challenge now. That's what you guys are here for. So we're going to start with our thrift stores. We're going to put them up on the screen. Our Morton location has opened, the one on the right on 618 West Jackson. Come on out there and say hi. And there's the left one in East Peoria. The phone number's on there. You got something you want to donate, we'll come pick it up. You got to move, we'll do that. But the main thing is, come on in and say hi. Pray. The reason why we call it Shopping with a Purpose is because there's prayer there. If you need prayer, come on in. You see some of our guys at time to time in there. You want to hang out, hang out. You want to help fold clothes, volunteer, come on out. You're going to find it's a very calming thrift store for us. I usually recognize Susie Rogers. Ask for her. Her and Joe, our COO, is in Phoenix right now for the national conference, which is going on right now. But give that number a call, and, man, we'll take care of you. Amen? West Peoria, you saw the video. There's so much going on that God is doing for this ministry. Our sign's not up yet, but that's what our sign's going to be. That's when you walk through them doors, that driveway. He's doing a tremendous thing. It's going to put us up to a potential of 120 beds, and that's huge. The other part of that is once the men are relocated on that property, we're going to immediately open a women's program. We're going to bring an adult and teen challenge women's program to the area because it's needed. Yes. But it gets better, right? I got something better. There is a daycare out there on the property that I call Rogies that's been there. They're still leasing and will be. What we're going to do is when we get the women over there, we're going to open up and start a women's with children as well, because many mothers call needing help, but we can't place them because they have children. They'll be in the daycare in the daytime and with their mothers at night. So I want you to give it up for God for what he's going to do for the women. Amen. Also, our prayer force. The cards are on the table. Go by the table, say hi. We got some 25th anniversary paraphernalia still out there we got to get rid of before we turn 30. Amen. So, but come on by the table. We got a couple of our intake coordinators are out there, but they're prayer force. You can get your phones out if you want to do that and put that up there. And all we're doing is asking for prayer for the vision and the mission that we have ahead of us for this. That's all we're asking for. So join the prayer force. We know God moves through the prayers of others. And we got the multitudes praying. There's nothing the enemy can do to stop that. It's a big, huge project. The looters came in, as you know, and they did their job. And so we got a lot ahead of us. We started our own capital campaign. We'll go public later in the year with it. But listen, pray for us. That's the biggest and greatest thing you can do. If you want to volunteer, reach out. Ask for Joe. Joe Roger, our COO. He's a project manager. He'll put you to work. So don't volunteer if you're not ready to work. Amen. Well, I didn't get nothing out of that one. It's okay. You're still listening. That's all that matters. Our banquet. Come on now. Tuesday, October 13th, a little later this year, Embassy Suite, 6 p.m. Your Cub fans are going to be happy. Your Cardinal fans aren't so much. But we're bringing Ben Zorbrist in this year. He's going to be speaking for us. Tremendous speaker. It's going to be a great event for the ministry. And always is. And just so you know, I gave in to peer pressure this year. For those of you that go, you always hear me say, we'll never have chicken at our events. It's always brisket. I gave in. Call me Pontius Pilate. You asked for Barabbas. So we're going to give you some chicken this year. They have a choice and vegetarian plates. So time has come, all right? Time has come to give in to the peer pressure. That's all right. We'll get you what you want. Great meal, great venue. You're going to see more about Teen Challenge and what God is doing. And I'll close with this. I want to get this out right so you can appreciate it. As I mentioned, the national conference is going on in Phoenix. It's every other year. So this year, they have a banquet awards night where they recognize years of service. And so this year, I'll be recognized for 25 years as a staff member with Teen Challenge. It started in 2001 when I had thick blonde hair. When I saw the calendar and saw the Father's Day was the third Sunday of the month and knew we'd be here on the fourth, I knew there'd be a little conflict of time. Can't be in two places at once. You know, it's not a conflict of interest, it's a conflict of time. And so I had to choose where I needed to be, and this is where I needed to be, and I want to explain why. I'm here because it's Teen Challenge Sunday, representing the men, the ministry, but also because of you. Because let me tell you something, when I'm out in the community and I see you, it means so much to me, the encouragement that you give to me and how much you love the Teen Challenge ministry, that you got to take the choice to be where family is. There's colleagues there that aren't going to be happy with me. I know them for a couple of decades, but you know what? They've been in Teen Challenge long enough, they understand. They just understand. But I'm right here. Because, see, 25 years in a career and what you do, it's more mental, you know, with all the stress, the grind, the long hours, the worry about bills getting paid, staff getting paid. But you know what? This morning is about here. It's about the heart. Heart's where the home is. And so I want to say thank you is why I bring that up. I want to thank each and every one of you for your love and support of the ministry. And you see me out there, please come up and say hi. You're not going to bother me. So again, thank you, Northwoods. Hey, this morning we're going to do something a little different. Men, I want you to stand and go out in the lobby now. Go on, guys. Hey, listen, when it's done and John dismisses you, go out there and find a blue shirt. Tell them how much you love them, pray for them, or if you need prayer, but don't go out, don't leave without saying hi. And you like that color blue? Yeah? Good. I hope so, because they're going to be wearing them for the next few years. So the green ones wore out. So, hey, thank you for listening, man. I love you guys, and thank you so much for your love for the ministry.
Yeah, hey, guys, will you just give it up again for Randy for 25 years serving in this ministry? Grateful for you, brother. Grateful for you. So what I'd like you to do, church, is if you would, I'd love to just have you stand to your feet, and let's just pray for Randy, along with all of our other ministry partners in Peoria, who are just, man, in each of their respective ministries, fulfilling a niche in Peoria, and we are just so grateful for the kingdom work they are doing, along with Adult and Teen Challenge. So if you would, let's just pray for Randy and the rest of our ministry partners. So Lord, again, we thank you for Randy and his willingness to be here, even when he could have been somewhere else. And so, Lord, I thank you for his 25 years of faithfulness to this ministry, Lord. I pray that your hand of blessing would continue to rest on him. And, Lord, as they embark on this project to expand, Lord, you know, as we talk about more beds, at the end of the day, that just means more men and more people who can be set free from some of the things that they're working through in their life, Lord. And so we ask, Lord, that you would just continue to give Randy and everyone there at Adult and Teen Challenge, you give them vision for what you placed on their heart in the years ahead. Lord, we know that you're the Lord who provides, and so we pray that you would just continue to provide the provision for the vision that they have, Lord. And so, Lord, we just lift him up along with the rest of our ministry partners who are here today, Lord. We're so grateful just for the incredible ministry that they are doing here in the greater Peoria area. We pray that your hand would rest upon each of them, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that your kingdom would come here in Peoria on earth as it is in heaven. And so, Lord, we just ask for that. We pray blessing over each of our ministry partners and Randy. It's in the mighty name of Jesus we pray. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Yeah, absolutely. So, church, thanks so much for being here today. I'm glad you could join us. Again, on your way out, make sure you stop and just say hello to each of our ministry partners. Thank them for the work they're doing in our city. Hope you have a great Sunday. And hey, if you need prayer for anything, we'll have the prayer team down front, and we'd love to pray with you. Have a great day.